ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो फिफ्थ ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 15th। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ किंग प्रियव्रत। टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। छन्दांसि कामस्य च यस्य कामान् भूः रजारुरतो बलिं नृपः प्रत्यञ्चितायुधि धर्मेण विप्रा यदाशिषांशष्टमंशं परेत्य। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Although King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification, all his desires were fulfilled by virtue of his performance of Vedic rituals. All the kings with whom Maharaj Gaya had to fight were forced to fight on religious principles. They were very satisfied with his fighting and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, all the Brahmanas in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya's munificent charities. Consequently, the Brahmanas contributed a sixth of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit in the next life. Purport. As a Kshatriya or emperor, Maharaj Gaya sometimes had to fight with subordinate kings to maintain his government. But the subordinate kings were not dissatisfied with him because they knew that he fought for religious principles. Consequently, they accepted their subordination and offered all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, the Brahmanas who performed Vedic rituals were so satisfied with the king that they readily agreed to part with a sixth of their pious activities for his benefit in the next life. Thus, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas were all satisfied with Maharaj Gaya because of his proper administration. In other words, Maharaj Gaya satisfied the Kshatriyas by his fighting and satisfied the Brahmanas by his charity. The Vaishyas were also encouraged by kind words and affectionate dealings. And due to Maharaj Gaya's constant sacrifices, the Shudras were satisfied by sumptuous food and charity. In this way, Maharaj Gaya kept all the citizens very satisfied. When Brahmanas and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. One should try to approach a spiritual master submissively and render service unto him. Gratification. All his desires were fulfilled by virtue of his performance of Vedic rituals. All the kings with whom Maharaj Gaya had to fight were forced to fight on religious principles. They were very satisfied with his fighting and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, all the Brahmanas in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya's munificent charities. Consequently, the Brahmanas contributed a sixth of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit in the next life. Those, if you read them, you will see majority deals with descriptions of great saintly kings. First canto we saw about Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Yudhishthir. Third canto about Maharaj Prithu. Then fourth canto, Bharat Maharaj. Fifth canto speaking of Gaya. And as we progress, we'll see about Lord Ramchandra. Then we'll see so many Yadu dynasty, Raghu Vams will come. And finally, at the end, the Srimad Bhagavatam ends with a description about Maharaj Parikshit passing away from this world. So we can see throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, kings have regular being, there is a regular passage of kings whose glorious qualities are extolled. So why is it that so many examples are given in Srimad Bhagavatam about kings? It is mentioned in the Shastra that king is called as Naradev. He is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, being a representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he plays a very vital role in a society. This earth planet, this human birth especially, is meant for self-realization. And a human being, if not properly trained from the beginning of his life, will not be able to achieve self-realization in his life. So therefore, the leader plays an important role in society. Yatha Raja, Tatha Praja. And therefore, time and again, the kings were properly trained. In fact, they were called as Raja Rishis, sages in the form of kings. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions that he gave this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita previously to Raja Rishis. And Prabhupada mentions that there were two types of paramparas. One is the Raja Rishi parampara, and one is the great other sages who were hermits. So the knowledge was given to Raja Rishis, and they in turn gave this knowledge to the sons. And this way the knowledge was given out. Therefore training was necessary because the life of a king was full of opulence. And therefore any time any person not being properly trained as king might misuse the opportunity, might misuse his opulences. We also know from Shastra, Srila Prabhupada told a story about how when a sage was travelling with his attendant, he met different kinds of people on his way. He met a brahmachari and told him, benediction, you die. Then he went ahead, he met a butcher, he said, you neither live, neither die. He went ahead, he saw a great sage, a pure devotee. He said, you either live or either die. And when he met Rajputra, the son of a king, he said, you live. Because, according to him, this fellow was enjoying kingly opulences, was enjoying sense gratification. If he dies, immediately what will happen? He will go to hell. So better he lives for some more time and enjoys some more time of enjoyment. So in this way we can see, throughout Vedic scriptures, we also learn of examples of king who have misused their kingly opulences. Therefore, Nidhi Shastra said that one should not trust a politician. Why? Because politicians are always eager for sense gratification. Unlike here, it is mentioned, King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification, which is so rare. Why? Because he was trained properly. He was trained to follow. Therefore, in Vedic ages, the king would send his children to get trained. He would send them to Guru's ashram. Dashrath sent, even though he was so attached to Lord Ram, he sent his very own son, all of his sons, to the hermit of Vasishtha Muni. And Krishna was sent to Sandipuni Muni's ashram. And in this service, also I have a Prashini Parishad king sending Prachetas, go and achieve self-realization. Why? So that they get properly trained, so that they can properly rule and train others who are following them. Yatha Raja, Tatha Praja. So the proper training is required because either they will misuse the opulences, or second, if they are not properly trained, the citizens will also be following in a wrong way. Once there was a king, and he was a foolish king, and all of his subjects in return were also foolish. But somehow by Krishna's mercy, he had a good minister. So he was always giving good counsel to him. But as you know, when a good minister is there, the other ministers are very envious of this minister, the main minister. And this minister was very clever, enjoyed a royal position in the kingdom because of his cleverness. So all the ministers were always trying to find a plot to somehow bring him down. So one time they all came together and they plotted. And he told the king that this minister is doing a lot of notorious activities in disguise, so you should punish him properly. So the king was keeping in mind. He got carried away with the words. So one time when the assembly was there, the king asked this clever minister a question. That I have a horse in my stable. I want you to tell, the horse is pregnant now. What the horse will give birth to? The clever minister said that the horse will give birth to horse. And the king said, yes, you are right. But the ministers, knowing that the king is foolish, they waited for an opportunity when the horse will give birth to a small baby horse. And the horse gave birth to baby horse. Immediately they replaced the baby horse with a baby calf, with a baby cow. And they told the king that he is wrong. He is fooling you. He told that the horse will give birth to a horse. But you can see right now, in front of your eyes, there is a calf. And the king agreed, you are right. This minister is fooling me. And therefore I will abandon him. Immediately ordered, minister, as soon as possible, you have to leave this kingdom and go away from here. So he gave him a deadline, he should immediately move. But the minister was very compassionate towards his king, because he knew if he goes away, the king will be ruined. So he continued to stay in his kingdom. So all the ministers told the king that this minister is not going away from the kingdom. So they called the king minister back and said, why are you not going? The stipulated time and date for you to leave this kingdom is gone. And he said, actually I wanted to keep you, leave the kingdom, but what actually happened yesterday night only, my house was set to fire, caught fire, and all my belongings were destroyed. So the king asked, how the house was destroyed? And he said, I had dried my clothes, and the wet clothes caught fire. And through the clothes, my entire house got fire. And the king and the minister said, how it is possible? You are fooling us. How can wet clothes catch fire? And the minister, clever minister said, just as the female horse can give birth to a calf, why can't in your kingdom wet clothes catch fire? So yatha raja tatha praja. The raja is foolish, the king is foolish, the praja also will be foolish. Therefore, in Mahabharata, when the sages are instructing Maharaj Yudhishthir about how a king should rule, what are the qualities of a king, they mention four important qualities of a king. They mention that how the king should be first submissive. That means he should be ready to hear from others, take concern. He should not be autocrat. The second quality was, as told by sages to Yudhishthir Maharaj, was that he should set example to follow dharma. He should not be preaching others to follow dharma, but himself also preach and follow dharma in his own life. We find in Krishna book, when Lord Krishna was in Dwarka, he himself followed regulations in his life. His supreme personality bore it, but as a ruler, he set an example. As I mentioned in Krishna book, in the morning, the rooster would give a cry out, the morning has come, everyone should wake up. And immediately Krishna would rise. And the queens like Rukmini, they were very dissatisfied because now Krishna was leaving their association. And they would curse the rooster. But Krishna, even though he was amidst beautiful princes, beautiful queens, he would rise in the morning, performing his morning duties, and sit on meditation. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that just like Lord Krishna, he performed his morning duties. Similarly, people who want to imitate Krishna should also follow this aspect of Krishna. People want to imitate Krishna's Rasila pastime. But Krishna every day got up for Mangalarti. No one wants to imitate that. So if you want to imitate Krishna, imitate him fully, Prabhupada says. So Lord Krishna got up, meditated, and Prabhupada writes, Krishna meditated on himself, but we should not meditate on ourselves. We should meditate on Krishna, because he was showing an example for others. And in the morning would rise, then Krishna would distribute cows. Around 14 lakh cows every day Krishna would distribute. So that was Krishna's daily activities. She was himself following dharma to set an example. Thirdly, the sages mentioned that the king should offer his mind, his body, and his intelligence in Lord's service. And we can find in Srimad Bhagavatam an example of King Amrish, who engaged all of his senses in Krishna's service. And finally, he should protect the life of his citizens, the sages mentioned. That means he should be always working to protect his citizens' life. The only aim of his life should be how give protection to all of his citizens. Unlike today in Kali Yuga, it's opposite. We find none of these qualities are found in today's leader. Either they are submissive, what to speak of setting an example to follow dharma, they are not ready to for even preach about dharma, and they are very eager that people don't follow dharma. And mind, body and intelligence fully used in own service, and no protection for citizens. Like Gaurampur was mentioning one very humorous example. In the West, one time one thief entered a house, and when he entered a house, some other by his activities, the residents of the house, they got awakened, and they on the light. And this thief was about to run, and he wanted to jump, but in the dark of the night, he could not see. So actually, he thought something as a bar, and he climbed on it, and there was nothing. So he fell from the first floor and broke his leg. And he was caught. But this fellow, in turn, sued the residents that you are supposed to keep bars on the windows, but you do not keep the bars. So therefore, he sued him. And people had to pay a fine to this thief for having broken his leg. All the whatever was the expenditure he had for his broken leg was paid by the people who were living in the house. So the ruler, instead of protecting the citizens, is protecting thieves and rogues here. So in this way, King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification. And in the translation, Prabhupada writes, although he had no personal desire for sense gratification, still all his desires were fulfilled. He had no desire, still all his desires were fulfilled. What were his desire if he had no desire for sense gratification? His desire was to satisfy his kingsmen, satisfy the citizens of his kingdom. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Maharaj Gaya, he had a unique dealing with each of the citizens, each of the varnas in his kingdom. As far as the kings were concerned, subordinate kings, King Gaya would fight with them, and they would be happy to be fighting with Gaya, and they would offer gifts. It's a unique thing. No one can imagine in Kali Yuga this. That the opposite party is happy, the king is fighting with us on religious principles, and they would come and give gifts, not out of compulsion, but out of love. We find in Mahabharata, when Pandu went to fight with the king, one particular king of a province, and the king became so satisfied with Pandu that he offered his own daughter in marriage to Pandu. And that's how Queen Madhuri became Pandu's wife. So this is wherever king would go, and if he would fight for religious principles, the opposite party would be happy and offer him gifts. In this way, the king would exchange dealings with a kshatriya. As far as with the brahmanas, it is mentioned that the king would offer a lot of charity to the brahmana, would offer him chance to perform sacrifices. And therefore, the brahmanas were completely satisfied in the kingdom of Maharaj Gaya. It is mentioned that in the Ramayana, when Lord Ram was ruling Ayodhya, he was satisfying everyone there. There was not a single person in the whole kingdom who was dissatisfied in Lord Ram's reign. But somehow or other, one day, one Brahmana came crying to Lord Ram, and on his hands, in his arms, he was carrying a dead child. And he told Lord Ram that what kind of kingdom you are ruling? You are supposed to be wielder of dharma. But how is it that my own son, he has died before me? So please check into this. Because if you don't check, that means you are a dharmi. You are not properly ruling the kingdom. And if you don't properly rule the kingdom, you are going to spoil the name of your entire dynasty. So Lord Ram became concerned. And then Lord Ram, in order to properly help this Brahmana, he took shelter of other Brahmanas who were his advisors. He called all the great sages and he discussed his problem, that how I can get back the dead son of this Brahmana. And Narad Muni told Lord Ram that actually I know why this son of this Brahmana has died. And he told a story that how in your kingdom there is a Shudra. And this Shudra is performing an austerity which is against Varnashram. And because he is performing austerity, therefore because of that austerity it is adharma, and because of that adharma this Brahmana son has died. So Lord Ram became alert and immediately he took his chariot and went to all directions to seek that Shudra who was performing tapasya. So he went to one place on the south and he saw a man, a Shudra, whose head was down and legs were up and was performing tapasya. And then he asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I am a Shudra and I am performing tapasya to gain some benediction from demigods." So before he could actually finish his speaking, what he wanted to tell, Lord Ram immediately beheaded him. And this is how Lord Ram protected his Brahmana son. So in today's society, actually, this is one of the stories in Ramayana where Lord Ram is supposed to be telling that how he was against Shudras. Today in the society, because there are many societies, many organizations who claim that everyone should give equal right, and they say that how everyone is equal. They say that Lord Ram was not properly following religion. Why? Because in this case, he killed a Shudra. Why? Because he was performing tapasya. He didn't give him a chance. But actually, if you see from the angle of Shastra, Lord Ram did a proper thing. Because in that age of Dwapar Yuga, it was mentioned that only Kshatriya, Brahmana and Vaishya were allowed to do austerities and Shudras were not allowed. So Lord Ram was following Dharma. And it's mentioned the person Shudra who was actually performing tapasya was a demon in his past life. And in this life he was performing tapasya so that he could please Lord Shiva and in return from benediction get Shiva's wife for enjoyment. So therefore Lord Ram was right, and the proof of that his rightness was as soon as he beheaded Shudra, immediately Brahmana's dead son came back to life. So in this way Lord Ram protected Brahmanas. And it is mentioned here that amazing that Brahmanas, when the ruler was properly ruling, they would give 1/6 of their pious activities for the king. Generally, general notion is the king would carry 50% of the impious activities or sinful activities of the citizens. But here we can see that Brahmanas are so satisfied that they would give in turn. Such a nice ruler we have. So one sixth of their pious activities they would offer to the king. So in this way, Maharaj Gaya would rule. The kings, when they were fighting with Kshatriyas, it is mentioned especially when a king would do Rajasuya Yagya, one of the main essential ingredients of Rajasuya Yagya was that the king would send, and all the subordinate kings would accept defeat from the king. And unless all the entire world, the earth planet, would accept defeat or accept subordination, a king would not perform Rajasuya Yagya. So when Maharaj Yudhishthir was performing Rajasuya Yagya, it is mentioned wherever Maharaj Yudhishthir sent his brothers, literally everyone accepted the subordination of Maharaj Yudhishthir. And they gave a lot of gifts and they agreed to come for Rajasuya Yagya because they knew that Maharaj Yudhishthir was Dharmaraj. He was follower of religion. So the king, in one way, actually worked for the betterment of citizens. Even though he performed Rajasuya Yagya, it was actually for whose benefit? Benefit of citizens. Because when he performed Yagya, the benefit would go to citizens. When Maharaj Prithu was performing Yagya, the 100 Ashwamedh Yagya, the whole idea was the citizens would get benefited. Therefore, even though he was sending troops to conquer everyone, the kings, the whole idea was everyone would get benefited. The proof was when Lord Ram decided to do Rajasuya Yagya after he was coronated, Bharat intervened and told Lord Ram that you don't perform Rajasuya Yagya because almost all the kings are subordinate to you and they are hearing you. So don't disturb the unnecessarily. Instead of Rajasuya Yagya, you perform Ashwamedh Yagya. And Lord Ram agreed. So in this way, Lord Ram was actually, a king like Lord Ram, he was actually working for the benefit of the citizens. And therefore, under Lord Ram, it was Ram Rajya. Today, people want Ram Rajya, but without Lord Ram. Srila Prabhupada said they want Ram Rajya, all the benefits of Ram Rajya, but they want to remove Lord Ram from the picture. So what will happen? A person who is ruling the kingdom, wanting Ram Rajya, without Lord Ram, will be actually a thief. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, it is predicted that 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that in Kali Yuga, the thieves will not come in the night to steal, because in the daylight there will be robbery in the form of taxes. The king will become the king of thieves. It is mentioned that when King Vena, he was coronated as a king, the description is there that when Anga left the kingdom because his son Vena was a notorious prince, so disgusted he left the kingdom. And because there was no king, all the thieves and rogues, they came up and started plundering the wealth of the citizens. So Brahmanas, they wanted some king. So they thought, let us put King Vena, install him as a king, and then everything will stop. And yes, everything stopped. All the thieves and rogues stopped plundering. Why? Because the king of thieves and rogues was installed as a king. So they ran away because the biggest thief had come. And now he was plundering as a king of the country. And therefore, as you know, that Brahmanas were disgusted, and later, the very own king whom they installed, they killed him. So therefore, a king needs to be trained. It's a quality. In Kali Yuga, we have no understanding. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam gives an understanding in Shastras that what is a king? If there was no description of king in the holy scriptures, we don't ever imagine what a king would have been. Because in today's world, what is a politician? Who's a king? A leader? The whole idea is, I will stay for the 5 years of my tenure and get as much as possible. That is a politician. And then he will show off religion. In fact, one devotee is mentioning a very nice, humorous tale that previously in Vedic ages, a child would be sent to test what the child has a quality, whether he's a Kshatriya or he's a Brahmana or he's a Vaishya. To test his quality, they would keep different things on the desk and they would let the child to go and pick up any one of the things. When the child picks up the scripture, then he will be like a Brahmanical person. If the child picks up some weapon, then he will become Kshatriya. So he mentioned that in Kali Yuga, if a child is sent, and there are three things kept there. Money is kept, Gita is kept, Bhagavad Gita, and there is a weapon kept. And if a child goes, takes the money, puts in his pocket, takes the weapon, keeps in his arms, and also takes the Gita, then what inference is? The inference is he will become a politician. Why? Because he will show off religion, but internally he will pakka thief. His whole idea is to get as much as money as possible, and anyone coming between, I'll destroy him. That is the king. So unlike here, Maharaj Gaya was not like that. He was properly dealing with all of his citizens. It is mentioned, as far as Vaishya was concerned, Lord Maharaj Gaya would encourage them by kind words and affectionate dealings. That means he took care of Vaishyas also. And to Shudras, because Maharaj Gaya would constantly do sacrifice, they were satisfied. Whatever they wanted, all the things were, essential things were given. They got sumptuous food and charity. So in this way, in the reign of Maharaj Gaya, Prabhupada mentions, all the citizens were satisfied. Everyone was satisfied. There was not a person who was single dissatisfied. So this is the idea of having a Vaishnava king. Govind Prabhu always fondly narrates the pastimes of King Mayur Dhwaj. Now in his kingdom, it is mentioned nectar of devotion. Just two lines of his mention has come. And it is mentioned that Mayur Dhwaj was such a saintly ruler that in his kingdom, everyone was a Vaishnava. And everyone was wearing a tilak. That means whether it was Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra or Brahmana, everyone was a Vaishnava, and it is mentioned that people in his kingdom looked like denizens of Vaikuntha. That was Mayur Dhwaja rule. And what was the example of Mayur Dhwaja? When Lord Krishna came as a Brahmana to ask for a charity, Lord Krishna disguised as a Brahmana to give an audience to Mayur Dhwaja because he was such a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Story goes that when Krishna appeared as Brahmana along with Arjuna as his son, he told King that you are supposed to be ruling us and protecting us. So I am an old Brahmana, poor Brahmana, I'm supposed to get my son married, but I am caught up in a trouble. While coming on my way to the forest, one tiger attacked me. And I told him that I am going to the other kingdom to get my son married. And he agreed to let me go with one promise, that provided in return I give half of the king's body to the tiger, for the tiger to eat. So Brahmana came and he told king that I had promised the tiger, and you are supposed to fulfill the promise. I am a Brahmana and you are Kshatriya. So it is mentioned Mayur Dhvaj did not get disturbed. He was ready to sacrifice his body. In fact, Brahmana became more intense. He said, not only that, your body should be cut into half by your own son. And Mayur Dhvaj agreed. And it is mentioned that the son reluctantly was cutting the body of his father, the king. And the king was crying, shedding tears. And Brahmana said, tested him more. That I don't want such a bali, such a sacrifice. But a sacrifice is done and the person is crying. And King Mahadev said, I am not crying because I am being sacrificed. I am crying that only half my body is used in your service. Other half will go useless. And then Brahmana, who was Lord Krishna, came out. He said, I was testing your faith. And in this, Lord Krishna gave an audience to Mahadev Dwaj. We also see from Srimad Bhagavatam example of Ranti Dev, how they protected the citizens. Ranti Dev was the one who fasting. He fasted, and then one by one all these different people came who were actually demigods in disguise and actually gave everything what he had just to satisfy citizens. There is one more mention, King Shibi, how he sacrificed his own flesh just to protect, give shelter to both the birds in his kingdom. So this, in this way, because the king was a proper ruler, in turn he would get 1/6 of the pious activities of Brahmanas. And Prabhupada somehow connects this to the whole idea of Tadvidhi Pranipatena. That means, just like the Brahmanas would give 1/6 of the pious activities to the king because his proper submission, proper following of Dharma under the direction. Similarly, Tadvidhi Pranipatena means, when a disciple surrenders to Guru, what happens? When he follows the proper procedures and surrenders to Guru, the Guru in turn, upadekshanti te jnanam. Whatever realization he has got by deliberation, that realization he offers to his disciple. Same way, just like a Brahmanas offer 1/6 of the past activities to the kings. So in this way, we can see here, we are going to continue more about Maharaj Gaya, and this is how the glories of Maharaj Gaya is extolled in Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.